Chips and caviar, chips and caviar.
Hungry for current events, business knowledge, and some jokes, and of course,
chips and caviar.
Welcome back to another episode of Chips and Caviar, this time at ECJ Lux in Meisner, which is the coolest, in my opinion, the coolest jewelry store and also like luxury store in the entire world.
In the entire world.
Owned by my friend Bobby.
Necklace I have.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, it's a...
He gave that to you?
No, he didn't give it to me. I don't know.
Just
Bobby,
don't...
was this a gift? I didn't...
I think he said, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
2 hours.
For 2 hours, I have it. I'm going to get the most out of it.
That's cool.
I'm going to take all these selfies.
Yeah, I like it. Looks good on you.
It's...
You pull it off.
Me on the farm in Montana wearing this necklace.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Cowboy, you know.
Cowboy hat, this necklace, just blending
America,
all the genres.
America, yeah.
Okay,
all right. Yeah. Cowboy boots, your boots. You got great cowboy boots.
Yeah.
Wearing them on a horse, I mean, and a necklace.
All right, I'm down.
All right, so Bobby, ring him up, okay? Ring him up. So we're here. We haven't shot any episodes.
We're doing story time.
This is story time. So the genesis of the reason why the story time is because I did a poll, which I like to do on the internet. And the poll said that most people that listen to the show wanted to hear more bullshit.
Oh.
Well, they love the business.
We have a lot of it.
Next would be mindset, and politics is at the end. So the, in terms, like direct correlation with what people want to hear.
I think people are tired of politics.
Probably, or they just don't want to hear it from us, which I can understand that as well.
I doubt that. I think they're just tired of it
altogether. Tired of it altogether. Well, we got a lot
so
of stuff
bullshit? We need a bullshit
we'll do
topic?
Bullshit. We'll do bullshit. So when you think bullshit, it's not really bullshit. Life and death isn't bullshit to me, but...
Oh, I know a story you were going to tell now.
Life and death. Closer to death than life. I had some close encounters to death on the way to going to prison, which it's a whole other show for another time. Maybe sooner than later. But
well, were you telling the boat story?
So, there's two boat stories, I guess. So there's a boat story by myself or with two other guys.
This was the boat story where you should have learned your lesson.
The original boat story.
Okay,
yeah.
The original boat story.
Original boat story. Okay.
So we went out to dinner.
Yes.
Where did we go out to dinner at? Doesn't matter.
I think it might have been here around Chops, I think.
Maybe. We went out to dinner and we got home at 10 p.m. And I think it was just you and me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, so we get home at 10 p.m. My friend Aaron Singerman goes, you know what we should do is start drinking vodka. And I was like, all right.
I think we'd already start drinking vodka.
Yeah. So we continue drinking vodka.
Yeah.
And then you said, you know what's so dope at night? And I said, what? And you're like, Lake Boca at night.
Mm-hmm.
So how convenient. I have a friend that also has a boat.
Hold on. We should stop. Because people are going to go, Lake Boca, what's Lake Boca? Why is it so cool at night? So
it's the most dangerous place in the world.
for me and you, man. For me and you.
I've never been back.
For me and you, I've been back. For me and you, you're right. It is a notoriously dangerous place for us. But what Lake Boca is really, it's not a lake because it's part of the intercoastal that leads out into the ocean. But it's this big body of water.
Death trap.
It's salt water.
It's a death trap,
And so, like, if you can imagine, the intercoastal is like the canal that leads to different inlets into the ocean out here in Boca. So it's this, you know, most of them are long and straight, and then all of a sudden there's some that are like lake shaped. And so Lake Boca is the big lake shaped one on the way to that, the inlet, or going out to the ocean in Boca. And it's big, and what I like about it, what makes it so nice, is that it's very shallow. So when the low tide comes, you can literally walk around or lay down in the water at night, and you can like lay and your butt's on the sand and you're like, you know, floating. And we successfully
did that.
And
that's what
you told me. It's cool and stars and it's nice.
Mm, yeah, so nice.
Anyway, it could be nice.
So we get a little loose.
Yeah.
Not too loose.
No.
It was a medium loose.
Yeah.
Right? And then we took the boat out to Lake Boca, which you were very excited. You're like, this is going to be amazing.
And I had a 43-foot Midnight Express, which is a really cool boat.
Which, it was 1,100 horsepower.
Well, I didn't drive it like that.
Well, I want to bring up the 1,100 horsepower later.
There's a lot of engines. Yeah,
a lot of engines.
Yeah.
Okay. So I text my boy, and I was like, hey, man. And my boy's a fantastic party guy. Hey, we're going to meet up there. I just want to say hi. And we go out. And you
and I was from the moment you said we're meeting your friend with a bunch of other people, his friends, and we're going to tie up at Lake Boca at midnight. I was like, it's kind of questionable.
Why didn't you say something?
I did. I was like, who the fuck's this guy? And why are you meeting with him?
He's my friend.
And I was like, oh, how do you know him? And you're like, the internet. I'm like, that doesn't sound like your friend at all. He's like, that's, well,
how
he
you know
nice
people now. You know him from the fucking internet.
You're like, he seems nice on the internet. Like, so you don't actually know him. You're like,
he still
yeah, I do.
He seems nice. I whatever.
He's my friend.
All right, listen. So we go out. Aaron puts the boat on the sandbar.
No, what? No. I dropped the anchor and everything. You don't just put it on the sandbar.
Well, technically, I dropped the anchor.
Okay,
but I pressed the button. I was very confused. I was like, I don't know.
Anyway,
doing it right.
So yeah, I pressed the button. It wasn't on the sandbar because remember, we're moving. We're like, we had to drop it because we're in deeper water.
Oh, you're right.
Deeper than we thought we were in.
Yeah.
Because usually in Lake Boca, you know, you want to go to a place that is shallow enough for you to walk around, but not too shallow that the boat gets stuck, which has happened to me also before in Lake Boca. If low tide comes and you're in a shallow area, you can get stuck.
This is all new to me, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm very out of my element.
Yeah, you're used to lakes in Montana.
Yeah, where you don't get out because it's 100 feet deep.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Continue.
Continue. So we drop the anchor. My boy shows up. He ties his boat to our boat.
He has several very drunk girls with him and two ridiculous dudes that were also really drunk.
Yeah. I could tell by their physiques that I didn't like them. I passed judgment instantly. So
yeah, you did.
They were like fat, sloppy dudes. And I was like, I don't know.
The first thing they said.
Either really, really funny or you have something else going to make up for your horrible physique.
Well, the first thing that they said to me when they got on the boat is, how much does this boat cost?
Weird question.
And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, yeah, but this is an expensive boat, right? I mean, this is like $1 million. I'm like, I don't know what it costs. I don't know. He's like, how do you not know what the boat costs? I'm like, all right, man, I got to go. I'll be right back. And then I went and told you. And I said,
and
hey.
You were like, hey, man.
I was like, let's jump off the boat and swim so I can talk to you about leaving
I don't know about these guys. We should go stand on the sandbar. And I said, Aaron, I can't fucking swim. And you're like, we don't need to swim. We're going to stand on the sandbar.
Yeah.
So we exit the boat and they're playing music and stuff. And yeah,
they all seem to be having a great time on my boat.
We instantly realized like the vibe wasn't our vibe.
Yeah, to say the least. To say the least. Yeah, I was like, I was like, Rob, seriously? These are your friends? And you're like, I don't even know them. They're on the internet. I don't know.
Okay, so we get off the boat. We're standing on the sandbar.
No, there's no sandbar.
What were we standing on?
We weren't standing anything. We were doggy paddling.
No, I stood on something for a little bit.
I didn't. I was doggy paddling the whole time.
The whole time?
The whole time we were outside the boat in the water, I was doggy paddling.
No.
I was doggy paddling.
I was standing on something.
Because I was like, you know, this is not that big a deal because I could doggy paddle for a little bit and the boat's right next to us. It was only like 6 feet away.
You remember this story much different than I do. I was standing on something because I remember going like this and having a beer. If I would have had a doggy paddle, I never would have done it because I'm not that strong of a swimmer.
No, I know. But
I was standing on something and the water
like
was here.
Sounds like you're a little looser than you remember. Because you were doggy paddling.
I was not doggy paddling.
You were doggy paddling. We both were doggy
don't
paddling.
Don't you dare
you were
tell me what
paddling.
I was doing. I was standing like right here. I was drinking like a Heineken, which is a very
it
weird
doesn't even make
me.
Sense if that was true because I'm much taller than you. So I would have been above the...
You're not taller than me. This show is bullshit. Everything on this show is a fucking lie.
It's supposed to be bullshit, by the way. Go with your story. Well, then, go with your version of the story.
Right, so I'm standing,
I'll tell the truth
we're on a sandbar. Sandbar's kind of high. Stand there like this, talking about like, hey man, I can't believe you might be going to prison soon.
No, I was like, why'd you bring these people on my boat?
And I was trying to change the subject.
Okay, all right.
And I was like, hey, this is crazy. And then the boat started to pull away.
I said to you, hey, when we get back on the boat,
yep.
We're going to tell them that my wife called me and I have to leave now.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, oh, sorry,
and I said,
guys.
I said, okay.
Sorry, guys. It's not my choice. Aaron's got
to
go.
We have
it's
to go.
Problem.
Wife stuff.
Yeah.
And then you looked over and what was happening?
The boat started moving away.
The boat started driving away. So his boat
it
tied
was
to our
slowly
boat.
Moving away, yeah.
His boat tied to
two
our
boats.
Boat started
one boat
to drive away.
Side.
A dual boat.
Yeah, they tied both the boats.
Siamese twin boats.
Yeah, little bullshit boats. They tied next to
our
boat.
And then they started driving our boat away. Now, from their side, what they said is the anchor came loose because the tide came up. So
Rob, are you really defending these fucking idiots right now?
No, I'm giving
right
the
show?
Other side of the fucking story.
Who cares about their side of the story?
Because I'm trying to give context. We're on a podcast.
It's because he still likes this loser. And that's what
listen,
he says.
Listen.
He still likes the loser, and the loser's going to watch the show, and he's going to be like, oh.
He's not
you,
a loser. He's a great guy. It was just a miscommunication. So the miscommunication was the anchor wasn't right. The boat started to do weird shit. So he
decided to pull away from us.
He didn't notice that we weren't on the boat, and he pulled the boat away.
All right. So let's tell it.
Which then... Because you think they were trying to leave us in the ocean?
You thought maybe they were trying to steal the boat.
I don't know what I thought. I just thought that I can't swim and I am in danger.
I'll back up a little bit. We don't listen to anything you just said. So if you back up a little
don't
bit, we're
to
in the water.
I just said.
We're doggy paddling, and everything's fine because the boat's close by. In worst case scenario, we could of course swim 6-10 feet to the boat. No big deal. Neither one of us strong swimmers. So with that in mind, no big deal. The boat starts drifting away. I didn't hear any engines. Rob didn't hear any engines. We didn't know anything was happening.
They were using a trolling motor, Aaron.
Okay. So we're looking at this boat.
Made that part up.
And the two boats. Oh, you made that part up?
Yeah.
That's the rest of it. You made up too. So we're all in this, like sitting, me and Rob are doggy paddling, and we're noticing it's going away. And I go, Rob, this boat is getting further away. And you're like, no, it's not. And I was like, I think it's getting further away. And then you go, oh shit, it's definitely getting further away. Mm-hmm. And then you basically take off after the boat, like full on, like swimming full speed.
That was the only option.
The
they were leaving us in the ocean. I had to save us. So I swam as fast as I could.
I thought this was all a misunderstanding. And it was,
well, at that point in time, regardless of misunderstanding, we were being left in the ocean. So I said, I need to swim over to the boat and stop them.
Yes.
Because they obviously forgot about us or something.
Yeah.
Or leaving us to die, or whatever it was.
Or stealing the boat.
Or stealing the boat.
I think that's what we thought.
So I started swimming like this. Meanwhile, panicked, intoxicated, not a good swimmer, dark ocean.
Yes.
I started swimming like this.
So that's the thing we should, I think that's worth clarifying.
Yeah.
Lake Boca, usually during the day, it's not nearly as intimidating because there's lights. But at night, in the middle of the night, at midnight-ish,
terrifying.
There was no lights, and when you're low in the water, it's even less lights, because if your head is right there at the water, the lights are around the periphery, which is, it's a big body of water.
Yeah.
And there's also a current in this water, because the inlet is pushing water in, because we were in high tide. So all the tide's coming in from the ocean, so it's pushing us.
A lot
so
of there's science a current. Involved.
Yeah, there's a lot of current. Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm here. I'm the science guy.
Yeah, science guy.
So we're swimming after the boat, and you're going very fast, and so I'm trying to keep up with you. Even though you're a bad swimmer, I think I'm a little worse.
You're much worse than me.
I wouldn't be much worse, slightly worse, I was going to say. 1% worse. Anyway, so you were swimming really fast.
Yeah.
And so I was keeping up with you, swimming really fast. Uh-huh. And I was watching you go, and we're both sprinting towards the boat. And as we're sprinting, I'm realizing that the boat is actually picking up speed.
Yeah.
And as we're going, we're getting further and further away from the boat, not closer and closer
to the boat. So at one point in time, I realized, because I was standing on a sandbar, I said, oh my God, if I try to keep swimming to a boat that's driving away from me, I'm going to die. So I need to turn around and get back to the sandbar.
Were you able, did you ever put your feet down?
And I turned around and I realized that, like, I had no idea where I was at. I had no idea where a sandbar was. And I realized that if I used up my energy supplies to go back to the sandbar and not be able to find that, then I would never get to the boat. So I fully committed to the boat.
Yes.
And I was screaming. And I think that's the part, was like me screaming. It was a panic death scream.
Yeah.
Which was a different voice. Right?
Yeah, well, initially, like, you're like, Timmy.
Like, please stop.
Yeah, please stop.
Hey, come back. And then it turned into like, dear Jesus, save me.
Yeah,
I know you're a Jew and everything, but I was yelling to Jesus because
You're yelling to your mom. You're yelling to everything.
I was raised
freaking the fuck out.
In times like that, Jesus is the one that comes and saves you.
Well, Jesus is about to come get you.
It's like,
for
Jesus,
sure.
Please fuck. God damn it. Yeah. I don't know if that's like the right terms to use.
Yeah,
but
you probably don't want to mix those, because that's not going to.
But I was yelling all the words.
Yeah, so. By the time Rob determined to commit to the boat, I decided to commit to not going to the boat. Because I realized there was no fucking way I was making it to the boat.
And now we're separated.
Yeah, because I was hyperventilating. I was trying to chase the boat. It was going faster. So I said to myself, I know Lake Boca well enough to know that the middle of Lake Boca, middle of Lake Boca has a much higher amount of sand in general. So it's like the threshold of standing towards the middle, you have a really good chance. Towards where we were, which is like the dredged kind of canals that are inside Lake Boca, but the deeper parts. So I said to myself, if I follow the boat, I'm dying for sure. Mm-hmm. But if I go to the middle of Lake Boca, I'm pretty sure that I could stand up. Not 100%, but pretty sure. So we ended up separating, because you kept going and I went the polar opposite direction towards the middle. Like, if you can imagine, Rob's going this way towards the inlet, following the boat, and I'm going right that way towards the middle. So I was hearing Rob yell or scream, basically, for the boat to stop for a while. And then it shifted into Rob screaming like, the end was near.
I was yelling, I'm dying.
Yeah, you basically,
please stop,
I'm dying. For your mom, I mean, it was not good.
Like, they had like gentle, like Post Malone music going, so they couldn't hear anything.
No. Yeah, so I'm going to the middle, and so as I'm going to the middle, I'm hearing the screaming and stuff. And to be honest with you, I felt like that probably freaked me out as much as the whole thing.
Why are you making me relive this? I got a lot going on right now.
It's for the entertainment of the people.
I'm glad you guys fucking appreciate this. I hope they do.
This is our last time talking about it.
I don't want to ever talk about this again.
We'll never talk about it again. So, this is the bad part, right? So at this point, I'm swimming towards the middle and I'm doing my best. but I wasn't doing great. So every time I would start feeling like really bad or like where I had nothing left, I would try to touch the bottom with my feet. And I think that was probably my biggest mistake, is that I would try to, because I felt like, oh, I gotta be close. So like, I don't wanna keep swimming this hard if I could touch the bottom. And so I would try to put my feet down, and then I would go under the water and realize, oh shit, it's 2 feet away from me putting my feet down, or 3 feet away from putting my feet down. So I keep swimming, and every time I go down, I'm like, okay, I'm getting closer to like touching where I could stand up, but I wasn't there. And so by that point, you're screaming, and it stopped. And I was like, oh, Rob's dead.
I only had so many breaths left.
Yeah, I was like, Rob's dead.
So I was, so looking back now, I'm a much stronger swimmer than I was doing, right?
Yeah.
I think it was all—
it's a combination of
shit. That's, you realize how fast things fall apart, right? And like, how fast a situation goes wrong. And I think now that we have the internet, we can watch videos where it's like a slight altercation goes into something and then someone gets shot like instantly. And you're like, wow, that escalated quick. And essentially this was just, that escalated quick, because I was swimming. And like, thinking back now, dude, I don't think I was kicking my legs. I think I was just doing this really
wild,
aggressive best breaststroke, because the biggest thing I was worried about, right? I think that I had a couple realizations. My one realization was like, I'm going to drown. And I thought to myself, I thought drowning was gonna be scarier than this. Like, I was like, it's just gonna be a relaxing, because I'm so tired that I'm just gonna sink to the fucking bottom. So I wasn't really worried about myself, right? And I remember thinking like, I can't believe I don't have kids. Everyone's gonna get over me pretty quick, right? Like, Dana can go marry somebody else. My brother will be fine. I'm sure they'll make money off black and white t-shirts for me. But I remember thinking to myself like, holy fuck, Aaron has so much going on and so much to live for. Like, he has those three fucking kids. And I remember just being like, I have three more of these really weird chest strokes left. And I just kept doing like one more stroke. And then next thing you know, I don't know what happened, but I like touched the boat.
Okay, because I don't want— that's the finale, the story.
No, that's not the finale.
Well, no, I mean, like, that's your— hold on, just hold right there.
Okay, hold the boat. I'm holding the boat.
During that moment, or right before that moment, I am continuously trying to put my feet on the ground and not making it. So as you were, you know, paddling your last three, I was at where my— as I would go down trying to touch the bottom, I would swallow water involuntarily.
You calling out for Jesus for help, or was that just me?
Just you.
Okay, so I'm no, the one
you were scaring
this.
Me yelling Jesus.
I saved this. I was like, Jesus, and then Jesus was like, okay, I'll make you okay, and then I'll find some for my friend. Even though I'm not his Lord and Savior, I'll still make it work.
Yes, whatever happened, something good happened, because we're here doing this right now.
Yeah.
At Bobby's wonderful store in front of the Ferrari, wearing a $100,000 chain, it's all okay.
It was $99,500.
For the chain?
He just a little, so, because $100,000 seems very expensive.
Yeah.
So he put it at $99,500.
Okay, so reasonable.
It's a deal.
So yeah, so now you're gonna get it. So I'm going down, and then I start breathing the water every time I went down. So when I would go down, instead of trying to just touch the bottom, I was hyperventilating so much I couldn't help but breathe in the water.
Yeah.
And so as I'm going and going down in the water, every time it's getting worse, where I can't control myself, and I get closer and closer towards the middle, but every time I go down, it's just a little bit too far. Like, now it wasn't 3 feet too far. It was like where it was like right here, you know, where it was a few inches too far. And so one of the last times I did it, I breathed in water and I was hyperventilating so much I was throwing up the water when I came up, that I stopped being able to see. My vision, all my vision, you know, I hear about stuff like this when people die, or I've heard like people that like near-death experiences or come back. It started seeing like black spots, and then the black spots grew and grew and grew, where even my eyes were open, and Lake Boca has some lights around the periphery. I saw no light at all, and I couldn't see anything at all. So I had no vision. Like, I went like blind as I was like, I guess, out of oxygen. And so I was like, no, I have to keep going. Of course, I thought about my kids. Mm-hmm. And I thought about everything. And I thought about that they're going to find me and Rob Bailey dead in fucking Lake Boca. I remember thinking, like, they're going to find— what the fuck? How— it's such a crazy, crazy scenario to find us both. Like, what? How that? And people are going to wonder, how did this happen? I started thinking about what are the ramifications of it, and what else I wanted to do with my life. And I just couldn't believe it was happening. But interestingly enough, I also was sort of resigned to it, which is weird, because it was like, this—
what does that mean? Like,
you resigned, like, I was okay, like, it is what it is.
That's the weird thing. I was okay with it too. I was so bummed out that I knew that you had gone through what you went through with your prior company. You had been out, you had been a heroin addict, You had rebuilt another company, a giant Redcon company. You had these three amazing kids. You've been facing jail time, like all the shit you're dealing with. And I was like, and this stupid fucking evening, this dumb fucking evening of us getting off a boat is like the thing that's gonna take this motherfucker out. Like zero concern for myself. I was just like, my ride's over, fuck this shit, but like, damn it.
You're very sweet.
I'm a very nice guy.
Well, listen, when you were screaming
when I got on the boat, my biggest realization was like, why don't I have more to live for?
So we're coming back to that. So I'm in the water and I went down and I came back up and it was like, I was like so close. Like literally the water was like here in my head. Oof. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so close. And I was like, I could do one more. I could go like a little further. And I did one more, right? Literally one more big swim. And I was like, basically when I went down, I was like, this is it. Like, I have nothing left. Like, there's no way I can go anymore. At this point, I couldn't see anything, mm-hmm. you know? I was starting to have tingles, like numbness all over my body. And so I put my feet down in the sand and my feet touched and I stood on my tippy toes and I was able to get my mouth out of the water. Mm.
Jesus, so, put that sand there, boy.
Yeah, literally. It was like a little hill.
Yeah, Jesus put a little mound for you.
A little mound. It was a little mound. Because if I would have went either direction, a foot, there'd be no mound. Yeah. So I stood on this little hill, and I breathed for a good minute or two, and my vision started coming back. And I started I wasn't shaking so much. It wasn't like vibrating as much. I still was. But it wasn't like my body was completely freaking out. And then I started yelling, help, help, help.
Me, grabbed onto the boat.
Yes.
Pulled up onto the boat out of the fucking swamp, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone's just like, what's up, man? And I was like, what the fuck, you motherfuckers? And they're like—
Because by now the boat is a long way away from where we were.
So I'm 50, at minimum 50 yards from you, right?
Before we started.
You fucking cocksuckers, my friend's fucking dead. And they have no idea what's going on. So they're just like having a good time on a boat.
They're dancing and drinking on the boat.
I come out of the water and I'm screaming at them.
So hold on, just one more clarification. Their two little boats took my big boat and they dragged it away.
Yeah, I dragged it away.
You dragged
it away. So I am yelling at them and I'm like, we need to go get my boy. He's fucking drowning. You left us out there, you motherfuckers. And I'm like yelling at them. And then they're yelling back at me like, hey man, I don't fucking know you. Watch how you talk to me. And then I'm like, I can kill everyone on this boat, you pussy fucking bitches. I swear to fucking God. So it's like this really weird argument because they don't know what's going on. They didn't remember we were in the water. It was very confusing.
They forgot we were even on the boat.
So I'm like, cut the fucking ropes, drop the fucking anchor. And they're like, hold on, like, what are you talking about? I was like, give me a fucking knife. And they're like, I'm not gonna give you a knife. So I'm like having a really hard time communicating with these people. So then finally we like cut the rope. And I'm like, get a flashlight there. We don't have a flashlight. I'm like, why don't you have a fucking flashlight? Like, I'm just yelling at everyone. So now I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. We're on some kind of boat driving towards where I think you are. And all I can do is picture. And I remember being so mad at your dumb fucking watch. I remember just thinking like, I'm gonna find my dumb friend drowned in this dumb fucking water and wearing this stupid fucking watch. And like, just how fucking, just this whole thing sucks. And I gotta go back and fucking tell everyone now that I let Aaron die in Lake fucking Boca. Ugh. Why are we even telling this story, dude? I don't like this story at all. It's a fucking shitty story.
Because it's entertaining?
It's not entertaining, man. It's fucking like, oof.
You know what I think the best part of the story
so
is?
I'm so angry, dude.
Yeah.
So angry, because like, we've been through so much hard shit, right? We've overcame so many fucking things. You were in the process of overcoming shit that would like wreck anyone else. And getting off a boat in the fucking ocean casually and just not paying attention is what
fucked
Boba. Us.
Yeah.
Oof.
Well, it almost fucked us.
So then I'm looking, and I'm picturing your giant fucking lats. You're floating face down, by the way, in my vision. Brain. And I'm like, where's this giant motherfucker out here? And then we found you.
Yeah.
And we pull you back on the boat, and now you're equally as angry. Because I went from being angry to like concerned, right? So now I'm in the concern phase. Let's find my friend. We pick you up, and now you're like, fuck you, I'm gonna kill everyone.
Yeah, I was super angry.
And now I'm trying to figure out like what the next move is.
Is that the only time you've seen me really, really angry?
I've never seen you angry.
Yeah, other than that.
You were, get the fuck away from me. We got on your boat, and I remember you saying over and over, my boy realized everything was fucked. So he was just trying to be like nice and like get us untied, and you were like, I'm fucking out of here. And he was like, listen, man, if you go straight, there's a sandbar there. I know you're really mad, just back the boat up, and you turn and you're like, this boat's 1,100 fucking horsepower. I do what I want. And I was like, oh my God, we're fucked. Because like, to me, I was just happy you were alive. But to you, you were just escalating. Like you were
I was ready to fight everybody.
You were ready to fight
everyone. I was
ready
to kill them, yeah. Oof. I wanted to run them over with the boat when they got off the boat, remember?
All right, so timestamps.
Yeah.
Timestamps. We went out there at 12:45.
Yes.
Right? So we get out there at 12:45. We met up at 1 a.m.
Yes.
Okay? So 1 a.m., we get in the water about 1:11, mm-hmm. right? We weren't in the water very long. About 1:20 a.m. is where we started the drowning process, right?
So the drowning process.
We're back in the boat at 2 a.m.
We're beginning the drowning.
Right? So now at 2 a.m. is the first time we're back in the boat, and I'm sort of starting to like get my wits about
it. And we were driving down yep. the intercoastal back towards my house. My house was on the intercoastal.
And I checked my fucking text messages.
Yes.
Now, Dana was not there with us.
Right.
Dana was in Montana sleeping.
Yes.
She had gone to bed when we started drinking vodka at the house because she was tired and whatever. So she's in bed at like 9 o'clock in Montana. She woke up at 11:26 p.m., which was 1:26 our time, mm-hmm. had a dream that I was drowning. Didn't know we were on a boat. She thought we were asleep at the house.
No.
And texted me. She's like, oh my God, tell me you're okay. I had a dream that you're drowning. So like, dude, as I'm doing the fucking stroke, trying to get to the boat, my phone lights up.
Yeah.
And it says, hey, tell me you're okay. I have a dream you're drowning.
And by the way, this is 100% true and verified.
Fucking crazy.
He showed me the phone as we were on the boat heading back. He goes, look at this. And I was like, oh my God.
And you're like, what? Well, yeah, you told her we were on a boat.
I was shocked by the whole thing.
Even me was like, did I call her and tell her we were drowning? And it was like, no, this is literally her being a weird psychic,
yeah.
having a dream. Oof.
But I'll tell you that this is the plus side of this whole experience.
What's the plus side?
There's a huge plus side, if you ask me.
Okay.
Huge plus side. Is that I thought when we were driving back to the house, I do not know how many times I've felt more alive than when we were driving back to the house. When okay. I realized we were yeah. okay, we like hugged it out.
yeah.
We were like, holy shit.
We didn't really hug. You know you're not a hugger.
No, I hugged you.
You're a hugger now.
Yeah.
That's a new thing for you. You realize that, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm not really, I haven't been historically a real touchy-feely.
You haven't been historically a hugger. You're a hugger now.
I remember hugging you because we were wearing no shirts and I thought that was even weirder.
That was weird. Our first hug was no shirts on.
Yeah. Have we had more hugs with no shirts on?
No, that was our only no shirtless hug.
All right, good.
Dramatic, no shirtless, I'm so glad you're alive hug.
Yeah, and I felt, what I remember feeling was just very grateful to be alive and feeling very alive and thinking how valuable life is yeah. and how it can slip away in an instant.
Yeah.
And you know, there's nothing like seeing death or being around death or having that close to you to realize that it can happen at any time to you, and
yeah.
that you only have so much time on this planet to do what you want to do or what you're here to do, and that people that are important to you, you need to tell them.
And yeah, I didn't have any regret. I didn't like, you know, have regret as I thought I was about to die. But the one thing that I do now is like, even when I pack, like daily I carry a gun, and then also when I travel, I carry a sat phone.
Yeah,
and I always think to myself, it's such an impactful moment that like, oh, I'm never gonna need this until I do. Yeah. Right? Or even the pistol, like, you know how annoying it is to carry a fucking gun every day? Like, it's uncomfortable, it's always in the fucking way, but it's like, oh, I'm never gonna need this until I do. And I think there's yeah. so many, it's such a great reminder of like how fast things can go wrong.
Yeah.
And how like, if you're oblivious to everything, like, you're gonna drown in the fucking ocean.
Hell yeah. It could happen. It could certainly happen.
Can this podcast be over? My stress levels are high.
This is like PTSD for you.
I thought we were just gonna tell the story and I was gonna be fine, but I don't like it at all.
I feel like I've had so many moments like that. This one's like just one on the list, but for you.
I know. For me, it was a big moment, dude.
Yeah. This was all the screaming on the way to the boat.
Ugh.
Yeah. Well, I hope they thought it was entertaining, so it was worth it for everybody.
Yeah.
We won't tell it again, but big thank you
to
Bobby at ECJ Lux
yeah,
for having
you.
Us
Thanks
here.
Thanks for the necklace.
Yeah. Well, is he? Are you just
no, he's letting me wear it for 2 hours.
Okay.
I don't know if I need a $100,000 chain like this. Need's a weird word.
Yeah, need. I was gonna say,
do you need it? Do you think I need this? No.
Wellington? No.
No. Do you think I want this? Yes. Okay.
So wants
and needs. All I need is food and water, right? And
sleep.
I guess shelter from the rain and some
yeah.
sleep.
Should sleep.
Everything else is a want.
And Redcon Energy. And energy. There you go.
And we need Redcon Energy drinks. And if you buy yours now, use code. There is no code. Just buy it because they're the best energy drinks.
Yeah, that's right. There's no code for the drinks.
No.
With that in mind, like, subscribe, What else can you do? Share it.
Yeah, do all the things.
Make a nice comment.
Yeah.
And we'll see you again for another disturbing story very soon.
No more.
Chips and Caviar.